Discover personally how the Word of God can affect a change in your life through the ministry of Bishop Dykewood Mills. Dykewood Mills is the founder of the Lighthouse Chapel International, a denomination with over 1,200 branches worldwide. He is a healing evangelist and the author of several best-selling books. He is also the pastor of the First Love Church, a campus ministry with over 200 branches. The First Love Church is a vibrant church with young, energetic people, full of first love for the Lord. Now listen to Dykewood Mills. That draws us to.
Hi, James. So glad you could make it here tonight for this meeting. But can you excuse for 1 second? 'Cause I just need to do something before I talk to you. I know it sounds kind of funny because of the way we've been, but I want to pray first. Let us pray. Or, you know what? Let me pray. Oh God, help me, please help me. I want to serve you, I really do. I want to follow you. Please help me. Please give me the Holy Spirit. I know that only you can make me strong. Today I have to do what is right, because I don't want to fall into this mess again. The hour has come and the seed must fall into the ground and die. I know you have made me strong enough to do this. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I had to meet you here today. There's just so many things to say. I really need to set things right. I'm here to speak the word of God. We've been living in sin so long. We both know it's not right. This fornication can't go on. Let's just quit and say goodbye. I'm glad we're meeting here today. This relationship is wrong. See, I've been pregnant 3-4 times. Oh no, aborting babies just too bad. I feel sick because I have sinned. So much blood. See, I cannot do this anymore. Let's just quit and say goodbye. For so long we've been together, Jesus, but I won't be seeing you anymore. I can't help crying as I speak. And I've been crying all week long. It's time for me to take my cross. Jesus, every day. Jesus is so real. I can't deny that I loved you. I can't deny you made me happy. Oh, yes, you did. You made me laugh. You made me cry. Oh, I just loved it being with you. And though I feel drawn to you, I've got to follow the Lord from now, and I want to serve Him. It breaks my heart to say goodbye, my day. Let's just quit and say goodbye. Let me make one thing very clear. You will not find me in those places. Oh, those places where we ran. If you're looking out for me, see, you will find me in the church. Yes, that's what it means to be born again. James, I'll be praying hard for you.
Enjoy the ministration. Ask your neighbor, now that you found Christ, what are you gonna do with him? We have powerful testimonies this morning. I want us to welcome Onga to give us her testimony. Please help me welcome Onga. Oh, put your hands together as we welcome Onga to give us his testimony.
Amen. My name is David Nia Mukwaku. The Onga is an abbreviation, so it's an abbreviation of my name, yeah. I gave my life to Christ so many years ago at the Kodesh. Pastor Michael Tijan, he led me to Christ at the Kodesh about 8 years ago. I did nothing for the Lord. I virtually see the work of God to be. I just saw everything to be normal. I didn't flow. Till I got to the tertiary where I saw I had a great love for the work of God. He actually put me into two tests, which has actually changed and transformed my life. And I believe I want to share these two things with you. First and foremost, I was cooking. As the name Hunger depicts, I usually cook a lot when I'm in the hostel. I don't buy food when I'm outside. So I was cooking. I was on my normal, usual cooking chores. I was cooking jollof rice, and it was for guys. So you can imagine it was bulk. It was for guys. I was in my boxer shorts when I was cooking it. So as I was about sitting on the plastic table, I mistakenly hit my elbow against the stew on the fire, and it poured on me. So I could watch my skin being fried, like the oil on top of it was frying my skin. So as I watched my arm being peeled off, my skin being peeled off with the stew, my voice told me that this small thing and you are shouting. Do you know how hell would be like? So you can imagine how actually hell would be like. So I changed and I had some people. I started working for the Lord. I had some sheep that I was attending to. Then I got to third year. When I got to third year, I contested for the SLC presidency. And these sheep who were supposed to be in the house of the Lord, I turned them into campaign team, and they were campaigning for me from hostel to hostel. They would go to the hostel and gather the people. Before I come, they've already gathered them. I'll come and talk to them and I will go. So a night before the vetting, they called all aspirants, and they were saying that we are too many, so they want to increase their grade point to somewhere. I think they increased it to first class. So most of them knew that they are going to drop off before the vetting. So I went to the vetting room, and I was charged of inconsistencies in names. So because they went to the administration and check, because they said if you are below this grade level, you are going out of the vetting. So they went to the administration and they saw that the name that I used to fill the form that I bought is not actually the name which is being recognized by the school. So they said, because of that, I'm out of the vetting. So I took the whole school to court, and I placed an injunction on the election. So for three weeks, there was no election in the school, and the politicians were interested. It was actually gaining national attention. The politicians were calling me, radio stations were calling to find out actually what the story is all about. And they called me, they summoned me, director of the school called me. Then I think it was a board. And they told me to go and withdraw the issue from court. Otherwise, we'll see who is a student and who is actually in charge. And I told them that it's for the people that I'm working with. And I thought I could adhere to the voice of the people, which is paramount, so that we could liaise and work for the whole school as a whole. And they were telling me that rich people, rich people. So I actually recognized that the people that I was thinking of were not being recognized by the school's authority themselves. Then I came home, and I was at a Kadesh. Then at a shepherd meeting, Bishop Saki, I don't know how he got to hear. I don't know how he heard about it. At a shepherd meeting, he gave it to me at a shepherd meeting. And afterwards, he called me to his office and told me that when I go back to school, I should let everything go and I should quit. So immediately when I go to school, I withdraw the issue, because Bishop has always been preaching about listening to the wise counsel of our shepherds. So quickly when I go to school, I withdraw the issue from court. So when I came home, I heard a voice telling me that, you see how stupid you are. You've wasted all this money and to no avail. Instead of you working for the Lord, you left it and you were doing something elsewhere. So all that I'm trying to say is that if you are working for the Lord, work it with all your heart and think of others. Don't see the work of God to be normal. Don't. When you're working, do it so heartedly, and that you'll be blessed. Amen. I want to thank the Almighty Lord for giving me these lessons, and I thank Bishop for glinting my heart with the desire of others, and thank him for first love as well. Amen.
Why don't you put your hands together for Hunger, that God changed his heart from serving other things to serving him. Amen. We have our final testimony. Let's welcome Rochelle to give us her testimony.
Hi, good day everyone. My name is Rochelle Jackson and I'm from Jamaica. And I'm a student at Anakazo Mongpong campus. Okay, I started attending Lighthouse Chapel of April of last year. And while I was there, I wasn't really serious enough because I wasn't born again as yet. And then I was doing Natural Marketing Company as well. So we always have our functions on Sunday. So I remember one particular Sunday, my shepherd called me and she said, "Rochelle, come here. If you're attending church, you have to be serious." And I was like, "Okay, I'll be serious." Then I heard about Bishop coming for camp. And I was like, "Okay, why is everybody so excited?" Because I didn't really understand. And then, at the same time, I had a very hard decision to make, to choose either see John C. Maxwell for 2 hours for the same price as to see Bishop for that weekend. So I was still confused. Then I have a friend who have a, she's basically a prophet as well. So I went to her and I was like, "I have a decision, please help me." And then she was like, "Okay, when you go to the camp, you will see a brown Indian guy, a brown Indian man." And I was like, "Brown? He can't be brown, he's from Ghana." And she was like, "No, you'll see. And everything that he says is basically telling you about your future, so accept it." And I was like, "Accept it? I'm not a Christian as yet, so how can I?" When I reached the camp, I reached very late. I reached 9:30, and immediately I was engaged. And immediately, as I sit down, Bishop said, "There's a lady here. She is asking for the question to get married. I've come from Ghana to give you that answer. The answer is no." And when I said, I was like, "Oh my gosh, how do you know that?" And then from that day, I've decided to get rid of all my John C. Maxwell's audios and books and switch to Bishop Dag. And trust me, my life has been completely changed. So at the camp, it was the very first time that I've heard Bishop. And I was like so hungry for the word. I was like, "Sister Jackson, I have to go to Ghana. I have to see Bishop. I have to worship with Bishop." And she was like, "Okay, but I'll become a shepherd." So I decided to become a shepherd, and I still didn't feel satisfied enough to come for that 1 week at Shepherd Homecoming. So I prayed every night, and I was like, "God, please bless me with opportunity to be where Bishop is. I want to spend my Christmas with Bishop. I want to spend my New Year's with Bishop, and I want to be in Ghana for a while." So immediately, my Reverend David came down in September, and he was like, "Bishop, having scholarships for anyone who wants to go to Ghana and worship and study to become a pastor." And I was like, "Yes, me, I have to go." So immediately, when I decided to go, he was like, "You'll be blessed. Bishop, thank you so much for that opportunity. And thank you so much for coming to Jamaica. I love you so much."
Wow, what a powerful testimony. Why don't you put your hands together for God? And we have another testimony. Please help me welcome Matthias to me to give us his testimony. Oh, please kindly show him some love and welcome him to the stage.
All right, my name is Matthias Tume, former chief elder of UCC. And now in ABMTC, Mampond Campus, and an elder for GIJ. My testimony is about the door God has opened in my family for my elder brother. You know, when I was on campus, my mother always calls me and says that, "Pray for your elder brother," because he was in church, all right, but later on, he began to go off. And I prayed for him more than anybody in my family. I don't know why. When I came home, sometimes I'll be in the house and you wake up in the morning and you see that there's smoke all around you. And he was smoking weed. Several times I will go to his back, take the weed and throw them away. Then when he comes, he asks that, "Did anybody come to the room?" I said no, because he knew that I wasn't going to smoke it. But I didn't know what could change him. I come to the room, I turn on to Sweet Melodies, the radio is playing, he's there. And he got offended in church because he was part of those who began the church and he got sick. Nobody came to visit him. And he was like, he wasn't going to go to church anymore. And I didn't know what to do because it was getting worse and worse day by day. And I thought to give up. But a time came, I decided to come full time. And that was where the problem came between he and I. He got offended, and one day he said he regretted taking me to the university. So I didn't know, I was worried. But I came to the Bible school, and it was day for matriculation, and we're told to invite our relatives. So I decided to send a WhatsApp message to him to come. So I sent the message with the direction to the place. He came. I didn't know. I was just here afterwards. My brother Francis sent me a sick that, Charlie, your man day around though. You see him? I said, I've not seen him. So I was there. I was outside. And then he came to me. And then he said he doesn't know what to say. But he thanks God that my brother and I are doing what he couldn't do. And I was so touched by that statement. And he told me, when I come home, we will talk. And when I go home, I was so eager to go for the vacation. When I go home, I was with him. And he decided, for the past 3 weeks, he has been in church. Today, he took his choir robes, ironed them, and he was in church today. He's going to sing in the choir today. And I want to thank God. And I want to thank Bishop for the opportunity to serve God. There is a hope in the call. Thank you.
Wow, give the Lord a powerful hand clap. Some of you don't understand the testimony when it's not your testimony, but I believe these are powerful testimonies. Hallelujah. Peace, it's time for the word. Amen. How many of you are excited that it's time for the word? Today is the first Sunday of a new year, and today is our first message for a new year. And we are so blessed, so extremely blessed that it's not coming from anybody but our Father. If you're excited, help me welcome Bishop Doug Edward Mills.
The Lord is here. I see the light. Oh, I see the light the Lord has given for you and me, so we can see.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great opportunity we have on the first Sunday of this year to gather here for this wonderful service. We are so excited to know you, Jesus. Thanks a million. Speak to our hearts, we ask, Lord. Guide us with your supernatural power. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Happy New Year again. And we are blessed to be here in our beautiful hall, isn't it? It's a blessing. And we are having a love feast today. Being in the church is already a feast. How much more to even have ice water to drink? That is a blessing. Hallelujah. Now, I've been sharing about the wisdom of a sheep. And I'm going to continue on this first Sunday. And I want you to turn with me to John chapter 10. Verse 8, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Let's all read verse 10 together. Verse 11, together. Amen. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, being Christians is something that you need to understand. You need to understand God's word for us and God's way of giving us victory. I've been watching animals, wild animals on television for some time. And initially, I used to feel sorry for the antelopes. Very sorry for them. I used to feel so sad when one is caught. You know, but when you watch for some time, you find out that the sheep, the antelopes who are like sheep, are actually more powerful than the lions. And they multiply and become thousands and thousands. And the lions are so few, getting fewer and fewer all the time, that if things go on the way they are, lions will not exist in some years to come. There'll be nothing like a lion. Just like there's some animals that don't exist anymore. And you would have thought that the animal which fears no one and which eats every other animal will be the most powerful and most successful animal. But it's not so. It's rather the sheep who is the weak one, or the antelopes and impalas, the different types of antelopes we have, they are rather multiplying and becoming more. All right? So interesting, isn't it? When you start watching, you when you see a lion chasing one of the antelopes, you pray, if you even start speaking in tongues, you know, that, Lord, this shouldn't happen. And you feel so sad, but it's because you are new to this whole thing. And you realize that most of the time when the lions chase the antelopes and so on, they don't catch them. And they catch them only about 40% of the time. So you realize that God has got some inbuilt wisdom which is contrary to our natural thinking, that force and strength will guarantee you victory, happiness, and blessing. Whereas in reality, something else that God has given these antelopes is giving them success, and their families are getting larger. You know? So if you are an antelope, you have to study what God has given you and specialize in it. If you are an antelope and you say you are going to specialize, you are going to sharpen your teeth so that if you meet a lion, you take him on. Are you not a fool? You are a foolish antelope. If you are an antelope, what you should be thinking is, let me learn how to run and to turn. Because what happens is that as they are going in a straight line, the antelopes turn right. And then it sort of confuses the lion. The lion has to also turn, but he's not able to turn so sharply. Or let me learn how to be on the watch or listen for the signals of danger. Because the antelopes escape from the lions by watching and listening for signals. Sometimes they have a monkey who is in a tree, and the antelopes are down there, and the monkey gives a signal when something is coming. Yeah. Then they have a monkey, and they are all together. You know. So you rather learn these sounds and the signs. You don't sharpen your teeth. So I'm developing my front muscles so that I can really, what do you call it? You are a fool. I mean, I don't want to insult you, but you are must be insulted this morning. All right? So I'm just trying to explain that a sheep is also amazingly a strong animal because of the same kind of thing, that what you think is weakness is rather its strength. You know, because they are so docile and they are the most harmless animals, you know. Like even on this campus, we have them walking around freely. We have some special goats. If you see them, they are not Ghanaian goats. Yeah, when you see them, you know that these are special. Has anybody seen the goats? Yeah. You see that these are special goats. I mean, they are harmless, you know. And you would have thought that being harmless is going to lead to their destruction. But they because they are so harmless, human beings have adopted them as animals that can be reared and brought up. And so when I saw those goats, I said, I'm bringing them here. They are now in heaven. There is no animal here to eat them. There is nobody who can eat them here. They are going to live forever and ever. Is it not heaven? Yes. By being what? Harmless. Being animals that can follow and so on. So it is important for us to know what we are and then develop ourselves in the skills that are needed as a sheep. All right, and not try to be a lion. It's not going to help us to be lions. All right, God wants us to be good sheep. Turn to Psalm 95. Psalm 95. Do you think you can find Psalm 95 in your Bible somewhere? It's one of the beautiful verses. Oh, come, let us, verse 1. Sing unto the Lord, let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is great and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. Verse 5, Psalm 95, verse 5. The sea is his and he made it. His hands form the dry land. Amen. Amen. Verse 6. Come, let us bow down and let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Amen. Amen. For he is our God and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hands. So he sees us as sheep. And true, we are sheep. We don't even know when we will die. The cows outside, the goats, they don't know when they will die. When we take a decision that you will die, then they die. In the same way, we also don't know when we will die. When a heavenly decision is taken, then you die. Is it not amazing? So we are just sheep. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. You think you can find Matthew chapter 9? Yes. All right. Verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. This verse is one of the reasons why we travel around the cities and villages. Not just the cities and villages. Teaching in the synagogues, teaching pastors and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He says he went about. So the ministry involves going around. You know, that's one of the reasons why sometimes full-time ministry is necessary, because without being in full-time ministry, you have to report to work every morning. But Jesus went about all the cities and villages preaching and teaching. Okay, so there comes a time where you need to travel a lot in ministry. And that is why some people have to be in full-time ministry. Verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, you know, as he was going around, he saw the multitude. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. All right? So here again, You see, Jesus saw the multitudes and basically saw us as sheep having no shepherd. All right? So what they really need are shepherds. And what the world needs are shepherds. It's not even prophets. He didn't say he had compassion because they were sheep having no prophet, but having no shepherd. What people need is a shepherd. People are scattered because there is no shepherd. Now, the pastor and the shepherding work is very, very important. All right? And so Christians must learn to respect it. I know there are people who make fun of us in Lighthouse. They laugh at us. But people have been laughing at me for a long time. It's been a long time since people have been laughing at me. So keep watching. You'll be laughing at the wrong end of your mouth soon. All right? Then he said unto them, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. This is also true. The work is plenty. If you start to do it, you will see how much the work is and how laborers are few. As for members, there are many. 31st December, every pastor feels that he is called. 31st December, every pastor feels happy. My church has grown. You get the maximum attendance all round. Visitors, sinners, especially just before 12. A lot of people rush into churches. You know? So, those people, they are plenty. But laborers, people who are going to work hard in the work of God, not many. And it's still true today. So pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So I've been praying for thousands of people to become pastors. Thousands. And you hear some people giving testimonies that, oh, he decided to go to a Bible school. He decided to be a shepherd, decided to be a pastor. I tell you, that is very few people are doing that. Very, very few. You can count them on your hand. Very few people decide to do this. It just happens that you are here and it sounds like a lot of people are, no. It is a very small fraction. Most people don't care anything about God. Yes. Now, when you are a sheep, you must specialize in being a sheep. And Psalm 23 is one of the best lessons on that. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And the immediate effect of that is prosperity. Once you are a good sheep and you are shepherded well, okay, you prosper. Trust me. It's not your school that will make you prosper. You know, unfortunately, you know, because of the way things are now, you can't give so many examples. But if I give you the examples, you will come to the surest conclusion that prosperity does not come from the things that you think would make you prosper. No. Now, even churches don't prosper because of what you may think, but rather, it is by following him that you will prosper properly. I see you prospering. So learn to be a good sheep. And one of the things that does not make you a sheep is simply, what do you call it? Being stiff-necked. Are you with me? Being stiff-necked. All right. Now let's look at verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Amen. He makes me lie down. Now, your shepherd should be able to make you do things. Yeah. He makes me do this. Did you hear me? He makes me lie down. He makes me do this and he makes me do this. Some of you cannot be made to do anything. Huh? Rebecca, remember when I couldn't make you do certain things? No, not you. Not you. You. And you too. Yes, you also stood up. You're not supposed to do anything. Just, I'm preaching. Yeah, just relax. You must be able to be made to do things. I'm telling you. Yeah. He makes me lie down. He makes me lie down. Yes. He makes me lie down. He makes me do this and that. I'm just teaching you how to prosper. And I'm saying that surprisingly, the way to prosper is not to be strong, but to be able to be made to do things. You see the people acting, they were acting about cooking, what, cooking and all that, jollof, spaghetti. And some of us, we cannot make you cook, cannot make you do housework. And it's in the Bible. It's not out of the card. The Bible says that the older woman should teach the young one to guide the house. How will you guide the house if you don't know anything? Even if you have people to do it, because you don't know what is to be done, you can't guide anybody. You'll just be shouting in the house. People who shout a lot is because of they're out of control. When you go to a house and you hear a madam shouting a lot, she's lost control. She doesn't know what is happening and what to do. It's a sign of frustration. When there's somebody who knows what is happening, there'll be no talking in the house. This happening now. This happening. This happening. There's plenty shouting and talking. You are out of control. Yeah. Are you listening to me? You become quiet now, all of a sudden. Yes. And I don't really mind if you're quiet. But I'm pointing out to you that you become quiet. It's not that I have a problem with it. Yes. You must be able to be made to do things. He makes me he doesn't lead you to lie down. He makes you lie down. Wow. Your shepherd should be able to make you do things. Come, go, sit. The Bible says, the guy said, I am also a man under authority. I say to one, go, he goes. I say to another, come. I'm able to make them go and come and go and come and do what I want them to do. Satan is the author of rebellion. And once you cannot be controlled, I tell you, it's a bad sign. Because you will never be led by the shepherd. And what is the hope of a cow or a sheep walking from Sokoto to Lagos, transiting through Lagos to come to Accra? Huh? There is no hope. Now notice, he leadeth me beside still waters. Being led is very important. If you can't be led, you will never see still waters. You only see the sea, the ocean, raging waves and salty water with terrible and dangerous currents. This is your future. Nobody can lead you. And all of us say so, but you know something? I want to say something. If you have children or you know families, you find out that every child is different. Every child is different. And I want to say that sometimes some of the stubbornness seems to be genetic. Do you see? Some of the stubbornness seems to be genetic. No, it's true. If you have little children, you can even see the stubbornness at the age of 3. And amongst the different ones, you see different characters. And it starts from a childhood. I mean, that is if you have a number of children, because the children are all from the same source. They came from the same place. And they have the same father and they have the same mother. One is very stubborn. If you say, lie down and sleep, it will not lie down. It will stand. And if he says he wants to come out of the court at the age of 1, 2, you will be surprised. Yeah. That's why some people give their children alcohol and so on to make them sleep. They give them cough mixture, something with alcohol in it, and to make them drunk. They are so stubborn. Now, do you know why I'm talking about this genetic part? Because when something is genetic, you know, it is very difficult to solve it. And you see, when you are very stubborn, especially if you are a girl, like you are unmarriageable. Like you may be beautiful, but nobody can really marry you. And wise guys, especially first love guys, are becoming wiser as they are listening to the messages. Their eyes are opening. Oh, it's true. Brothers, is it not true? They are not just looking at, I mean, breasts and bottoms. No. They are now seeing more. And they are realizing that, Charlie, it is more than that. So what I'm saying is that maybe you are, if your father had 3 children, maybe you are the stubborn one. And it started from when you were even 1 year or 2 years in the court. Yes. The same family. If you have many, you'll be surprised. Sometimes you give birth, everybody looks different. You even wonder that, why should there be a difficult? It's the same processes that have brought these same children out. And they all look different. Why? So that difference also comes with a different character. So what I'm trying to say is that some of us seem to have inherited certain things. And if you don't acknowledge it, it will never go. Yeah. It will never go. Stubbornness, hardness, quarrelsomeness. No, it's true. And maybe your own mother or father can tell you. But even I remember even my children when they were small in a court. And I remember different behaviors. I said, hey. It's true. And I know today people have children and they say, this one is the strong one. This one is like this. This one is like this. This they haven't known evil, but they are already that way. So what I'm trying to tell you is that perhaps you are genetically oriented towards destruction. Therefore, try to diagnose yourself. If you are able to diagnose yourself, you can confess against it every day. If you are hard and stubborn, you can be speaking against the hardness and stubbornness and learning traits until you adopt a new Christ-like character, especially a non-self-destructive character. It's the self-destruction that I'm worried about, not anything else. Yes, it's the self-destruction. That's what I'm worried about. Like, it will destroy you by how you are. You are destroyed. Because he maketh me, I can't make you do anything. Even as a pastor, I see some sheep, I just touch them. It's like autopilot. They just lie down. You just touch. Another one, you hold. It's not going to go in the church. Different people are different. You are delivered from every hardness and stubbornness today in Jesus' name. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He leads me. Be leadable. Leadable. Now, to be leadable is where you hear the word how to be led. How to be led by the Spirit. Or the art of hearing so that you can follow and be led. You must take joy in being led. Like now, I don't want to do anything in my... Somebody asks, what vision? I have no vision at all. I just want God to lead me. Because I know for sure all the things that I have done that are successful, I didn't lead myself to it. I would never have done them. Including the First Love Church. Yes. Even here that we are. We didn't come here because God spoke to them. My son, I say, no. It's like through whatever processes that he has, he's been leading me more and more, step by step. And if you don't recognize his leading, one of the things that I recognize with the leading of God is stubborn people. Like, stubborn people can be a guidance to you this way. You know, like Pharaoh, you know, he was the reason for miracles. The miracle ministry of Moses. He brought about the miracle ministry of Moses. Without Moses, there would have been no miracle. If Pharaoh had just said, please go. You want to go, you may go. There would have been no signs and no wonders. Yes, there would have been nothing at all. It was the stubbornness and the problems that Moses encountered that led to all the miracles. So sometimes all these things, like a door that is closed to you, is a revelation of God showing you another way because of the hardness that you encounter. Yes. And you must learn how to know that he's leading you. If you think there's going to be one particular way that you will know that now he has spoken, I feel something brown burning on the right side of my stomach. You may feel something brown burning, but not always. And another time, he may lead you in completely different way, but you must be alert for the many ways, because God cannot be seen. God cannot be seen. And you need to follow somebody you cannot see. Obviously, that's going to be, it takes a special way. You know, I once watched a film of a man who was looking for a king cobra. He flew to India on a plane. They filmed him. He's going on a plane. He's going. Got to India. Got to a forest. And his aim was to find a king cobra, which is the biggest cobra. And is the king of cobras. One bite can kill a village of people. Yes. And he went through the forest. Right to the end when he got the king with his cameraman. And at different points, he would just pray, so there will be a snake here. And he will go there and move. If that man was to come here, he can take you through this forest and find different species of snakes. Recently, we caught a Gaboon viper here. Gaboon viper is a snake that has the head is like a spear. And it has something like a kente pattern on the back.
Yes, it's called a Gaboon. It was actually first discovered in Gabon, but the white people call it Gaboon viper. Yeah. We had one here. You see, it's a classic. When you see the pattern, it's a wow. One of that, you'll be bleeding to death. Yeah. They'll find it for you. Black mambas, Jameson mambas. Jameson mamba is green. He'll take you around. He'll just take you through. So there'll be one here. He's an expert at following an invisible animal. You are going to become an expert at following the invisible Holy Spirit. Yes. Did you hear me?
Yes.
You are going to become an expert at following and finding the invisible Holy Spirit. Amen. I never knew that the Holy Spirit would lead me through troubles. But sometimes he will lead you through troubles. He leadeth me. So when the trouble comes, you may think God has left you. Now that he's now leading you. Yeah. He's now leading you. You may have thought he will lead you with a voice that's very clear, like audible.
My son, this is the hour I have prepared you for. Thou shalt rise and thou shalt go forth doing my will and my word. This is the day that I have spoken to you. I am calling you from this hour onwards.
You may not hear an audible. Most have not heard this audible voice. At least I haven't. I've heard a voice before. I've heard an audible voice before. But not like this. Not so clear. I've heard voices a number of times, but not like this. I wish I would hear. My son. Hey. I'll be so happy. But there are many, many avenues which the Holy Spirit will lead you. So you must be careful, all right? Because when you are led and you are flexible with the Holy Spirit, you will definitely come to all your prosperity. If I have prospered, if my life is a prosper, if I have prospered, it's not from school. It's not from school. My salary was 20,000, which is, I think, 20 cedis or so. No, it was about 20 cedis. Yeah. 20, and it was increased to 70 when I finished my house job and I was leaving. They said, oh, doctor salaries have gone up to 70. Is it 70 Ghana? No, not 70, 70,000. It was 7,000, I think. How many years ago is that? 70,000. No, it would be about 70 Ghana. Yeah. 25. The salary was 25 cedis. Seventy Ghana. It was $70. Something like $70. It wasn't $70. It was less. Yeah. That's the only work I've done in the secular world. Yeah. I did it for 1 year. Finish. I've never worked anywhere again. Except in the church. Amen. Not from my school. Or from my family. If I've prospered. And I can't say that I've prospered. You know, people take things out of context. So I'm just saying if I have. It's not from any of the places you may think. It's the work that I'm doing in the ministry. Yeah. I'm a pastor. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm in the ministry fully. Yeah. He leadeth me and he's going to lead you. So I pray for you that you will open yourself up to be led. To be led. Amen. Don't resist the leading of God in the many different ways. So now you can understand what Kenneth Hagin said, that the thing that differentiates people is their ability to hear and to be led. Why? Because you may hear, but you not recognize that he's leading you. So if you're a Christian, what you must learn more than anything else is be like how to be led, like he's leading me now. This is what you must learn how to do. Do you get what I'm saying? Like learn it. Learn it and learn the mistakes about it so that you don't make serious mistakes with it. One of the serious mistakes is to be somebody who you just have a dream and then you start doing things. You have to know the context with which a dream works. Yes. Because you can have so many different dreams and you'll be off. So you must be careful. When you meet somebody who's always dreaming, and when he has a dream, say, oh, I had a dream, that's why I've come to see you. I had a dream, so I've joined the Bible school. I've had a dream, so I'm leaving the Bible school. I have a dream, so I'm doing this. I have a dream. You can have a dream about anything at any time. I have a dream that I marry her. I have a dream that my wife is a witch. I have a dream my husband is dead. Every day you have a dream. So watch out for people who always have a dream. One day a brother told me, I told him, your dreams are too many. I told him, your dreams are too many. It's wrong. Because the Bible says, in the multitude of dreams, there is wanteth not vanity. It's too much. That you shouldn't have too many dreams. Yes, you can have dreams, but it's not too much. Everything you say, I have a dream, so I'm preaching about this. I have a dream, so God told me to see you today. I have a dream. God said this. Hey. Then we can never tell when you're going to have another dream. I met a brother one time. He was even in the with us here. And he was very proud, you know. And a young man. And the main thing about him was that when I asked him, so what are your plans? He said, oh, as long as God tells me to be here, I'll be here. You know, God, when God speaks to me, as long as God tells me to be, I'll be here with you in Ghana. Yeah, God says I should stay for now, so I'm staying. And I told him that is not how a person is led. I can't look at you and tell you God has told me to allow you to sit here, to sit by me. Tomorrow, and as long as God tells me, that will be it. The next moment, God tells me a different thing. Then it's a very dangerous thing. And you have not understood the meaning of being led. I could see that he was proud. His father could see that he was proud. His grandfather could see that he was proud. Everybody could see clearly that this is a proud fool. That all that he was filled with was, well, God said, I'm going to do what God said I should. And I was expecting it. And at the next moment, God said I should go. And he was gone. So, again, you must be led by the Spirit, but not to become destroyed in the name of being led by the Spirit. So you have to learn what it means that he leadeth me by still waters. He leadeth me. Look, if there's anything that you need to be an expert on, is the ability to be led. And that is the multiple different things that God uses to lead you. You must become a specialist of it. Even desires, God will use your desires to draw. Because he said, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. So sometimes you are drawn to something. That thing is a leading. And if you don't follow it, you end up in the wrong place. There are many people, you know, they want to be in this church, but something else guides them. And many of them, when they go abroad, then they join Lighthouse. So, I'm so happy to be here now. Because they've always been drawn to come. Because there are many people, they know that they may not really work for God unless they come into this environment. Because, you know, we emphasize working for the Lord all the time. So, people who are here get a chance more to work for the Lord. You get it? So they know that they are drawn because you see that they are called. You know, when you go to school, Tech, Cape Coast University, a lot of places, you see they are, I mean, presidents, vice president, prayer secretary, very audacious brothers. Hey. And when they finish school, it's like there's no sign of anything on them. And you rather see sinners will come in from far and come and now become leaders in churches. And these guys who were the main people, the purpose in on the campuses, they, you see them doing politics or doing something else. If I mention to, I can mention a list of politicians who you see on TV. They were prayer warriors, this and that of you on campus. Yeah. Today, you don't know whether they are Christians. You see them insulting pastors. Yeah. So, I want you to become an expert on being leadable and being led by the mighty Holy Spirit. He restoreth my soul. When God blesses you with a good shepherd, He is going to restore your soul. Now, what does it mean, restore? You see, your soul is not originally, when you say restore, it means your soul is out of, it has to be restored, brought back. What is our soul? Your soul is where your feelings are. Your soul is your emotions, your will. Look, most of us, our souls are in difficulty. Let's talk about feelings. Many of us have either too much feelings or too little feelings. Yes. You take a girl like this one who was in love with James. You see that she's struggling to say goodbye to James. And there are some girls, every man, they fall in love with the person. You know, when I first became a Nina, tell you, an organist in the church, the senior leader in our fellowship singing group told me that, be careful now that you are a musician. I said, why? He said that the girls fall in love with, when they see you on stage or they like you. Yes. If you sing, shh. No, I'm not joking. No. Those who are joking what I'm saying, you find your life becoming a joke. There are people who fall in love when the guy who was leading the worship is called James. Is it the guy who was leading the worship? James? Yeah. There are people who fall in love with him because they saw him worshiping. The people who fall in love with Curtis when he sings. Oh, yes. It's like they have too many feelings. That's what I'm saying, that he restoreth my soul. It's like he's bringing your feelings back to the normal level of feelings. And not too much feelings. Not too much of feelings. Some of you girls, you have watched Nigerian movies. You have watched, what is it? Soap operas. Like what? Lagato. Lagata. Lagata. What life is for me? Huh? What life took from me? Paloma. And so on. You have watched people. Your soul is affected. I'm telling you. If God blesses you, if God blesses every boy who talks to you and says, hi, you immediately hear ton, 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 wedding bells. Yes. No boy can relate with you without you thinking of something like that. Your soul is affected. Your soul is affected. If you get a good person to marry because of what your soul has been affected with, when you get a good person, you will see in that good person all the bad things you saw in the films. You will transpose it to him. You say, oh, you are a liar, you are this, you are all the things you have never been. You will put it on him. When he is not that, you will give it to him, I tell you. He will be surprised at what he is receiving. It is because your soul is affected. Some of you have too much feelings. Brothers, you look at the pornographies that you've looked at. Your feelings have been affected and wired. It's true. So that as I'm preaching now, I'm restoring your soul to normalcy. Your soul is coming back. The films you have watched, like, you are more than, I don't know how to describe you. And when you marry and you get an ordinary sister, it's going to be mobile for you because she doesn't know all the things that you are expecting. She only knows how to lie down and be there. It's called being there. And you are expecting certain things you've seen in films. And it's not going to be so for you. Through masturbation, you'll see that you cannot stop it. You have to do it every day, even when you don't need it. You have to do it. It's like, it's time. You have to go and do it. Yes. You may have a nice wife, and you see that you have to do the thing. Yes. Plus your wife. Plus that one. Like that. And your life is... So your feelings are out of wacko. They've gone... The dial is moving into the red. It's going. The digital is turning to red. You are converted. You are changed. You are affected. Then your will is affected. Your will is ability to say no. Say bye-bye. And no, back to the feelings. Some have no feelings. Now, when you meet a girl without feelings, it's too sad. He restored my soul. People are married and are sitting there wishing, why don't you touch me? Why don't you have any feelings? Oh, and you're what? When they say I love you, say I've heard. And you don't smile. Some of you, your feelings are negative, only negative. Negative feelings. Your soul is, so you take somebody with zero feelings. Zero feelings. Like some men, they have no feelings. Like the guy who says, go and wash, go and cook, go and do this. You see them. You see the person tired, working. You have no feelings. Say, go and come, you are a woman. Go there. It's your work. Go, come, do this, whatever. But you are just there. Because you are a man. You are an Ashanti man. And it's like an Ashanti man. This is. You can never lift your finger to do anything. It's not as though you are even bringing money to the house. True. But you don't really care about anything. Because you have a hardened soul, an iron soul. Your soul is like iron rods. It's like H ions. You are hard. Yeah. Such people can beat you also. Just papa. So next time you know how you talk to me. Wow. There are different types of people. When you sit down and you listen to marriage counseling, you'll be amazed. Everything has exists. Everything. There are some people, they are married to iron ladies. More than Margaret Thatcher, I tell you. Iron, iron. Very beautiful though. Very beautiful. That's why you should be in a relationship for some time. So that you know whether you can stay with such a person. No feelings. You need restoration, seriously. Your will, your emotions. Some of us, only depression. The thoughts that come to sadness, moodiness. You have a face. You can never know moodiness by seeing people in church. You'll be surprised when you become close to the people. The face is like a spray. Do you see the cloud that was coming during the 31st night? Yeah. That cloud is like that. Nobody should be happy in the room because I'm here. And my face is squeezed on everybody and everything here. And when I decide to smile and when I decide to be happy, then happiness can come here. You haven't seen some before. How many have seen some? It's called an atmosphere creator. Yeah. Your emotions need restoration. And some of us don't know that we are sick. We are sick. We don't know because of our families. No one has told you before. But that is why God gives us shepherds. And you, this one, you can never be told from afar. I'm telling you, ladies, listen, no. People, boys, they will be excited by the way you look, but it's very short-lived. After that, how you really are like in real life, that's what's going to carry you forward. Oh, yeah. As you look like this, well, nice, whatever. It's people who see love at first sight, when they are doing worship, and they see, this is my wife, after church. Then they go. It's only that kind of brother you can get with your bad attitude. But real brothers who are going to look at you carefully, you won't get it like that anymore because they are hearing this message. Yeah. They are hearing the message. Yeah. They know that most of the hair you are wearing are wigs. They are all wigs. None of your hair is real again. Oh. Yesterday it was brown. Today it's black. Yesterday it was long. Today it's short. How can it grow so fast? All these things are not real. He restoreth my soul. Your emotions have to be repaired. I'm telling you. Even in the short time that I've known you, some of us in the first love, I know a little closely. I can see the repairs that need to be done for your souls. It's not difficult for me to see. It's not difficult for me to see. I can see you. Your soul is in need of repairs. But I want to say, if it's genetic, start to admit it. And start to declare it's going, it's dying, I'm killing it. In Jesus' name. If even fornication, adultery, and some of those things are genetic. Not that it's genetic you should do that, but it's like there seems to be a tendency. Yeah, even from childhood, sometimes you can see. And that is why you need to address the thing because the soul is not well. Feelings. When you take drugs, it can affect you so much. Those who take cocaine and so on, yeah, it affects them. Their will is affected. Yeah. I know a pastor, he had a very huge church. But before he became a pastor, he was taking drugs. He was into drugs, cocaine, whatever. Then he got converted. Then he became a pastor. Then he started a church. And the church grew big. It was now one of the biggest. Then he started to have problems at home and started to have difficulties. And the soul, you see, he was drawn back to his problem. The soul. Yeah. And it's not a small thing. He died with the cocaine in his pocket. He was just found dead with a packet of cocaine on him. They were expecting him in church on Sunday. He didn't come. It made me go to this to read about it. That's why when you become a pastor, after some time, you don't easily condemn somebody. No. That's why when Jesus saw the woman with caught in adultery, he is rather the one who didn't condemn her. Because some people, they can't control that thing too. When I found out about drugs, they say that if you put rats in a room and you starve them, like drugs that you feed with cocaine, and you starve them. So the drugs, they become drug addicts. So they eat cocaine and they eat food. They eat cocaine, they eat food. They eat cocaine, they eat food. If you take drugs, rats, and you starve them for 1 month, 6 weeks, no food, and you bring them out, and you put cocaine here, and you put food here, they will not go to the food, they will go to the drugs to drink. It's so powerful. It's like they need it more than even life. Yeah. That's why you should be careful not to fiddle with something. Some things, when you taste it, become difficult to stop. And what it is, each time you need a little bit more. Each time you need a little bit more, you don't know. There's a dose that takes your heart rate out and your blood pressure and everything off, and you are off. But there's a dose. You will not know the day that you take that little. You can't tell how much you are sniffing. And those of you who have been sniffing, today is the last day of sniffing nonsense. In Jesus' name. Ask your neighbor, by the way, have you been sniffing? Have you been sniffing things? Your will. Yes. If you marry somebody whose will is affected, that's one of the reasons why you to stop fornicating. Because when you commit fornication, you keep doing it. Your ability to stop is also compromised in your you don't have the ability. You see somebody will have the same thing and even more, but he will not take it. And you will not even get provoked, you will take it. There are couples who even they accept, I know that you can't be faithful. So I've accepted it. Yes, they know that he cannot help it. Yeah. Your soul needs restoration. And the things I'm saying, I'm mentioning them so that you also be careful. Some of us are playing with things that destroy souls. Yes, you are playing with things. You are watching things. You are playing with things. They affect you. You are playing with different addictions and games and things. And in the end, you see that you change and you see that you can't control yourself. I didn't understand all this. I had a friend. He was on drugs. I said, this boy, if I give him money, he will go and buy drugs. The Holy Spirit told me, give him money for food. I said, what about his? Give him, look after him. I looked after him till he died. He cannot control himself. Just look, care for him. I cared for him. And I knew many times, when I give, this is your food, he will go and whatever. But at least that is food. Don't do it till you can't control your soul. Your soul is affected. That's why you have to watch what you are watching. And some of you, you watch a film and you saw a giant or something when you were a child. Since then, you are afraid of things. It's a spirit of fear. Even when somebody comes to propose, are you sure you are not going to be? Whatever. Yeah. So he restores my soul and again he leads me. You see, this is the Holy Spirit. Oh, the shepherd leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Righteousness. When God leads you, you see that your life becomes more and more righteous. You watch. More and more right. More and more right. More and more what? Right. But if you are rebellious and angry and stubborn, each time they're trying to lead you, you will always resist it. But it's leading you more and more to the right thing and to righteousness. Are you listening? Yeah. I'm talking about allowing yourself to be led. Allow yourself to be led into fasting. Allow yourself to be led into prayer. Allow yourself to be led to learn how to pray in the night. Allow yourself to be led how to have your quiet time. Allow yourself to be led in righteousness and right things. Allow yourself to be led. It is for your prosperity. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Huh? Valley of the shadow of death. Everybody here is going to cry. I'm not prophesying a bad thing. Crying is part of this world. Yeah. We are all, look at the number of people you know and the number of people you love. Can you imagine each and every person you know has to die? And supposing you are the last person to die, your tears are going to be more than everybody else's tears. All the members of your family, all the people that you know, all the loved ones that are important to you, everybody has to die. And death, the nearer it comes, the stronger the shadow. When you are far, the shadow is like slightly, but the nearer it is, the shadow of death, if you have ever experienced it, you have a certain feeling in you for a long time. It takes some months for that feeling to go. It takes months for the feeling to go. Yeah. It takes months for the feeling to go. Are you listening to me? Yeah. But when you have a shepherd, you will be strong to go through. You know, this is our great punishment from Adam and Eve. It's like, no matter how happy we are going to say bye-bye to ourselves. If you are alive, one day you will attend my funeral. If I am alive, one day I will attend yours. That's it. You say bye-bye. They lift the thing up like that and it's gone. It's over. It's wild. I tell you. And that valley is called a valley. Valley means a low point. It's a low point of life. It's the valley of the shadow of death. The younger you are, the more you attend weddings. But as you go, and sometimes when you are young, you have unexpected deaths. And that's a very low valley. Because when people die, when they are expected to die, it's like, oh, even sometimes you'll be encouraging, hurry up and die. Finish and go. It's true. But thou art with me. There's a song, Comforter. When you listen to the words of that song, you see that it is somebody who has been in this valley before. If you've not been in that valley, you can never compose that song. Sing it.
Faithful friend and father, I've called you through the years. You've been great physician when sickness lingered near. And through distressing moments, your name is new and sweet. You've become comforter to me. You are comforter. That's who you are to me. Comforter, a name that fits so perfectly. Peace that passes all understanding. Comforter, that's who you are to me. And to the grieving family,
to the grieving family,
who weep for loved ones gone,
who weep for loved ones gone,
the pain of separation,
the pain of separation,
consumes another home,
consumes a home.
But on the waves of sorrow,
on the waves of sorrow,
you walk with perfect ease.
You
Comforter, that's who the whole world needs. You are Comforter, that's who you are to me. Comforter, a name that fits so perfectly. Peace that passes all understanding. Comforter, that's who you are to me.
Listen, he's talking about the comforting shepherd.
And to the grieving family.
To the grieving family.
Weep for loved ones gone.
Who weep for loved ones gone?
The pain of separation.
The pain of separation
consumes another
consumes
home.
Consumes the home.
But on the waves of sorrow,
you move with perfect peace.
You walk with perfect peace. Comforter, that's who the whole world needs. You are Comforter, that's who you are to me. Comforter, a name that fits so perfectly. Peace that passes all understanding. Comforter, that's who you are to me.
So that's the deed of a shepherd in your life. Jesus, your shepherd, and your under shepherd who is here, and all the shepherds along the line. Back to the psalm. Put it back on the screen. He leads me through the valley of the shadow of death. Though thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. The rod and the staff is like the symbols of the power of the shepherd, what he uses to whip the wolves when they come. Yeah, there are many people when they see the shepherd, they become okay. That is why important people are supposed to go when there's a crisis. They go there. Yeah, it's like you're supposed to go to the place. You can't just sit somewhere and be hearing things. You're supposed to go there. And the sight of the person's rod and staff brings some stabilization to the situation. Yeah. You may not know, but like I told you, we all know a lot of people. How many know a lot of people? You know a lot of people. Each person you know has to go. Hey, it's a lot. It's a lot. A lot of crying for one human being. But though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he will comfort you and he will restore you. Verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Yeah. I know you wouldn't want to have enemies. When I look at my life, I can see people who hate me. People hate me. There are people who hate me. A lot of people love me, but a lot of people also hate me. They can't stand what we do, what we stand for. Sometimes even Christians are. You're surprised to hear pastors making comments and saying things. Yeah. But you see, your prosperity is in front of their noses. You will prosper in front of the nose of your enemies. Yes. Sometimes you shouldn't pray for them to die, but rather to live long to see. Huh? What do you think? They are going to see something good about you. In Jesus' name, thou anointest my head with oil. Whatever responds to oil will respond to you because your head is anointed. The devil will respond to you when he sees the oil. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. When your shepherd is leading you, you will have more than you can carry. Some of you don't have even one. But God is going to give you more than you can use. My cup runs over, overflowing, overflowing, abundance, blessings. Yeah. Overflowing, overflowing, overflowing. Do you believe in overflowing things? But you know that in real life, things don't overflow. Things are not enough. In real life, your salary is not enough. In real life, your dresses are not enough. In real life, your shoes are not enough. In real life, you may have CDs, but you need dollars. Is it not true? How many realize that in real life, things are not enough? But I prophesy to you, your cup is about to start running over. The more you declare it and the more you believe it, the more it will happen practically. Allow yourself to be led in 2016. Become a master specialist at being led by God. My cup runneth over. Verse 6. Surely, maybe, possibly. Surely, probably. Goodness and mercy may follow me. Possibly, may kindly, if maybe, possibly follow me. No, goodness and mercy shall follow. Follow means that you'll be going here, it's come there too. You go in here, it's come there too. You go in here, it's come there too. If I move to Liberia, you see that you will come there. You see that you come there. You say that Liberia is the best country. We have realized that something wonderful is happening there. We are trying to make. You see, yeah. Because you see, you don't know where you will be, but where you go, goodness and mercy will follow you to that place. In Jesus' name. From today, don't be afraid of any place. You see, life and happiness is not in the abundance of things you possess or even where you are staying. Look, there are people in Ghana who are far happier, far, than those in America. I'm not saying in America they are not happy, but I'm saying that many people here are far happier. Yes. So don't be afraid of anywhere. Don't say, as for me, they are America. America all the way. Go to America and ask the people in America whether. Don't you see that they rarely come to visit us in Ghana? How many have noticed that do you know why they don't come often? They don't have enough money to come. That's the truth. Yeah. And sometimes when they come to visit, they actually take a loan, or even they suspend one of the payments they are making so that they can just come and make an appearance. Yes. It's not easy. Not easy at all. So don't be afraid of anywhere. That's why I say Kolegono was the most wonderful place for me. Because for me, this is what God has given. And goodness and mercy followed us there. David Yongicho came to Kolegono to dedicate Kolegono, a place that we have left. Even the Kodesh, where we have left the Kodesh. That's where he came to dedicate. With the whole entourage of Church Growth International board members, billionaires and other millionaires, they all came there. To Kolegono. Don't be afraid of anywhere. Where you are, just make it nice. And surely, 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 goodness and mercy shall follow you to that place. Declare it to be so, and you'll be blessed. Instead of having a myopic mind that, as for me, I must be in Accra. If I'm not in Accra, I'm not okay. I must be in Lagos, otherwise I'm not okay. I must be in New York, otherwise I'm not okay. But don't bother yourself with places. In every country, there are people who are blowing time and having a great time. Yeah. Only that you don't know. Yeah. You know something? Before I take you to a very important scripture that I want us to see, I went to a country that I said, Ghana is better than here. By far. It's a country with the baller is on the street like a decoration. I've never seen any country like that before. Yeah. Huh? When you come out, the streets, and then the people in the town went on a demonstration whilst I was there, and they put tires at every junction and closed all the streets and bent. I said, no, no, no. I'm in the wildest place. I've never been to any place like this. Then I was there for 7 days where they gave me to bath. I was afraid for my skin to touch any place. Because if your skin touches, you not like that part of your skin again. And I was there for 7 days. Yeah. Then getting to the end, I told the person who was hosting us, I said, I play golf. Is there anywhere in this country that plays golf? He said, oh yeah. So I said, take us and let me go and see. When I went, I saw, up till today, I've never seen a nicer golf course in the whole world. Poshest. Yeah. And I saw prosperous people. I was staying in the baller, not knowing that there was another area. Yeah. I said, can this be the same kind? Up till today, I still can picture the place. Very beautiful. And I saw cars. I said, hey, the same place. Yeah. Not knowing that the one who was hosting us, he has his own hotel in that baller area. So he wanted to put us inside his rooms. Yes. So that is how come we were there. I know a pastor who was brother. He said, I'm not staying here. When the girl said, I'm not staying here, take me out to another place right now. And he left the next day. Yeah. You see, every place that you think is down, there are people that are blowing time there. So don't make yourself, I don't like here. I don't like here. I don't like. That's not how to be led by God. Like wherever God brings you. There, you'll see goodness and mercy who have caught a flight from Miami. And they are coming to find you at where you are in your corner. They are following you to wherever you are. Yes. I tell you, if I move to Liberia, you see that you are all coming there. So we are coming there. We've seen that the place is wild. When you come, you'll be amazed. Yes. Zwedru, Banga, Robertsport. Oh, beautiful. Yeah. I once had a pastor, a missionary friend. He was living in the forest, inside the deep forest. And my pastor friend visited him. He said when he got there, he has made a lawn in the forest. A lawn. Like a lawn. He's in the forest. A white man. He's made a lawn. And he's built his own house there with chickens and everything. He kills cobras. As they come to eat his chicken, then he kills them himself in the forest. Beautiful. Yeah. There are some people, where they go, a golf course will follow them. Lawns will follow them. Running water will follow them. You must believe God that once you are somewhere, that place is going to be a fantastic place. Yes. I see you having goodness and mercy following you to wherever you are in Jesus' name. Yes. Don't be afraid of places. Oh. Don't be. It is one of the reasons why many of my lay pastors have not prospered in a certain way. They are afraid of places. If they were to just forget about the place, the name of the place, Papo Brown Street, forget about that name. and just believe that Psalm 23 is working for you. Goodness and mercy shall follow me on Papo Brown Street. You are going to experience great things for the rest of your life. Amen. You see, there are some few addresses that everybody knows, and those places are full up. Yes. Yeah. Everybody, Ghana's largest trading partner is London. So everybody goes to London. There's London. Every day's flight, plenty. It's full. They are expecting you there. US. We call US. It's full. There are places that are waiting for you to arrive. Turn to Deuteronomy 32. I'm going to show you your future. Verse 9. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Amen. You are God's portion. When God looks at you, he's like, you are like his treasure. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land. Hey, has God found you in a desert land? Yeah. In the waste, howling wilderness. And what did he do? He led him about. Underline that word. He led him about. He instructed him. You see, God is finding you in a wasteland. And he's leading you. He's instructing you. How many realize that God found you in a wasteland? A howling desert. Winds blowing. And you are right in the middle of that wind. And he finds you there and he's leading you. And he kept him as the apple of his eye. Wow, look at me, everybody. Do you remember that scripture? While shepherds watched their flocks by night, or there were shepherds abiding in the field, looking, keeping watch, keep watching. That's what it means. There is a shepherd watching over you. Jesus is the shepherd watching. He's watching. Awake. He's watching over me. I almost died on the way to Tamale some years ago. But he was watching over me. Yes. I would have been gone. The manager of the road making company, he just took his cigarette. You would have been dead, you know. One person dies here every day. When there's an accident, we use a tipper truck to pick the bodies. He was just sitting in front of a white man. He was sitting in front of us after the accident. He was telling us. You'd have been dead, you know. He told us, when there's an accident, we don't use ambulance. We use a tipper truck to collect the bodies and the pieces of the bodies. Every day, say every day somebody dies here. Not even one day that goes by without somebody dying. He was smoking. He was smoking on us. A white man. We use a tipper truck to pick up dead bodies. You damn lucky. Keeping watch. He's watching you. Little girl, he's watching you. He's watching to get you married, I tell you. Young man, he's watching you. He's watching over your life. You'll never be poor all the days of your life. You watch and see. In Jesus' name. As an eagle stirreth up her nest and fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. You see, this is an eagle stirs up the nest and makes you fly. So when your shepherd is leading you, he causes you to do things you haven't done before. He makes you fly a flight. You are even scared when you are flying. You may even think he wants to kill you. as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. Verse 12. So the Lord alone did lead him. Lead. God leads you. One of the ways God leads you is by frightening you out of your nest. Yes. Underline the word he led him about, which is in verse 10. And underline in verse 12. Also, I want that word lead to be in your head and your heart. Lead. Like you are not leading yourself. And you are not deciding things. But you are allowing God to lead you. And the way he leads you is that he, as an eagle, frightens the babies out and spreads out the way, forces them to come out of the nest. Forces them to fly. That's how God is leading you. That's why sometimes his leading looks frightening. Last year, I did a lot of frightening things last year. That I haven't done before. Last year we did Black Star Square. We haven't done it before. We did ISI in London. We did it in Paris. We did homecoming. We did crusades at different places, different towns. Many, many things last year. Oh, which is frightening us out of our distance. Hey, we will fall down. Yes, you will fall, but you will learn how to fly in the process. Do not resist God's leading you to do new things. You see, we've started the Kadesh. We started the Kodesh. We started the Kadesh. We started the First Love Church. It's working. Everybody's church was full here on 31st. Yes, Kadesh was thousands of people. Kadesh everywhere. Kodesh was full, thousands. And we were also full. Wow. But it's scary. I said it is scary. You think it's going to fall. But he leads you. This is one of, and that's why I'm saying, I want you to become a specialist of recognizing the leading. So don't be, as when your shepherd, as if you are stiff neck and he's flying you up, you say, come on, don't you see that we'll fall down? Stupid. And he's fluttering his wings to get you out of the way. Your gun spirit will come just now. And your airway spirit will come just now. Hey. Yeah. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. When he makes you fly and it looks like you're going to fall to the ground. Even if you fall, you won't die. Yeah. Don't be ashamed. We had crusades. We've had crusades. People didn't come as we thought. We went. We left the place sad. Say, wow. Then the pastor will come at the end of the crusade and say, I don't want to say that this is one of the biggest crusades. I want to say that this is the biggest crusade we have ever had in our life. So the crusade that we were sad that nobody has come. He's telling us, I don't want to say that this is one of the biggest. This is the biggest by far. There is nothing. We have never had anything like this here before ever. Yeah. Don't be afraid of God. Don't be afraid of God. Amen. Continue. So the Lord alone. Everybody say alone, alone, alone. You see, if the Lord leads you a bit and another thing leads you a bit, then it's changing. And there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth. High places. Hey. God is going to make you go to high places of the earth. When you allow him to lead you, you are going to see the high places of the earth to your own amazement. What high places are there? What are the high places? Everything has higher and higher places. That's your, if you allow him, he will lead you, see that you've come to a high place. I say, Lord, I'm in a high place now. Oh, Lord, I'm in a high place now. Oh, Lord, I never thought I would be here. Oh, Lord, no, I'm not. I didn't expect this. Oh, Lord, I didn't know that this will ever be the case. Yes. If he leads you, he's going to make you ride on your high places. Your high places are waiting for you. They are places you only experience by being led by God. They are not places you experience by your education or by your parents or by anybody. Nobody can help you in this earth. You see, your parents can give birth to you, but they can't really lift you up. They can prop you up and give you certain things, but there is a certain going up. It comes from your own God leading you. Yes. He made him ride. You are riding high. You are riding high. You are riding high. You are riding high. He's talking about Jacob. He said, he made Jacob ride on the high places of the earth. That's why Israelis have got more inventors, more scientists, more millionaires, more billionaires, more rich people, more politicians, more of everything than any other nation. God led them. Even driving them out of Germany and driving them out of Europe, he forced them out. He forced them out. But people couldn't recognize it. When he was giving them the signal from 1933, leave, they didn't leave. They said, oh, we are here, we'll be here. They killed 6 million of them. But the few who left, including Einstein, went to America. Einstein. Those are the millionaires you hear of today, including Spielberg and those people who make the films. All those are Jews. Yeah. Goldman Sachs and all, this is all Jews. Jewish money. We made him right. Can you explain a small country, only your country alone, all these billionaires? Why? Can you explain it? Can you explain it? You can't explain it. He made him ride on the high places of the earth. Have faith in God. Have faith in his spirit. Have faith in his direction. Have faith in God as a great shepherd. Believe in God. Don't trust yourself. Trust God. That he might eat the increase of the fields. You will not struggle to buy corned beef. You will not be in the house. Some of us, when you want to drink tea, it's a major. Go and buy tea bags. You buy 2 tea bags. After that, you go and buy sachet milk. After that, what? You go and buy sugar. I mean, 1 tea that you are going to drink. You've used the tea bag already, and you are going to use it for another tea. Do you know anybody like that? People will bring you tea as gifts. They will bring you tea. You cannot drink the tea. Plenty all around you. That he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock. Hey! When did you ever hear of honey coming out of a rock? And oil out of the flinty rock. This is your story. I'm talking about your future, your life. Your life. Honey is coming out of a rock. Wow! That's why I'm not shy to say that I don't work anywhere. I don't have any job. I don't have any business. And I'm not an executive of something. I'm nothing. I'm just a pastor. I'm drinking honey from the rock. And oil is coming out of the flinty rock. That is what you are going to experience. Believe it. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? And how did all this happen? By him leading. He says he led his people. Hey. He led them. I love it. I love being led. Verse 14. Butter of kine, milk of sheep, fat of lambs, rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of the kidneys of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grapes. Wow. Huh? Are you ready for such things? Butter of kine, which is, I think, butter from cow milk. And milk of the sheep. Are you ready for milk? Those of you who've been buying one pick, one ideal, one sachet. Those sachet days are over in Jesus' name. Did you hear me? You won't believe your future. You, if you like, write it. Some of the things you should write them so that when you go, you don't become proud. You say, look, it's God who has led me step by step. I've come to this place. He has restored my soul. Yes. How many sisters can I look back and see a brother who was going to make you eat butter of kine and milk of sheep with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan and goats? That's why we have goats here now. And goats, God, they are part of blessings. Goats are blessings. With the fat of kidneys of wheat. Drinking the pure blood of the grape. Shabayabala babandala. God was about to let you marry somebody like that. But when you look at the person, you look at him up and down. You are too short. You are too short. Not knowing that that short man was the one with butter of kine, milk of sheep, with fat of lambs, and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. This comes from what? He led them. He led. Go back to the first verse we started reading at the beginning of this passage, Deuteronomy 32. He found him in a desert, verse 10. He found him in a desert. How many agree that Eno Oyo Biana is a desert? How many agree that Eno Oyo means that where you are now is a desert? In the waste howling wilderness. There's nothing around you. There's nobody around you. There's nothing around you. Your life is empty. And then notice, he led him about. This is going to be your story. He led him about. He instructed him. And he kept him as the apple of his eye. Look closely at this scripture. Verse 11. Verse 11. And as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings. Verse 12. So the Lord. That's how he says, so the Lord. You see, he frightens some of the things. It's frightening. Oh, yeah, it's frightening. Oh, yeah, it's frightening. When I was going to start a church, I was scared. Bishop Saki was scared. We were all scared. Charlie, pastors who don't say, admit that they are scared, it's just a way of talking. But ask them if they have some feelings. So, I knew God spoke to me, and God said, and the Spirit of God said to me in my heart, and I knew that. Oh, Charlie, you were also scared. You are wondering whether it will work. I mean, that's the reality. Those of us who came full time, we were all afraid. Hey, what's going to happen to my life? What's going to happen? Will I be this? It's normal. When the eagle throws you out, fly. Hey, look at him. The man is coming. You'll be okay. You'll be okay. Before you realize you are flying. You are flying. You are flying. You are flying to your high places. Your high places. Your high places. How can you go to the high places if you can't fly? He made him. He led. Verse 12. He led him about. The Lord alone did lead him. It was the Lord who was leading him. The Lord was leading him. Verse 13. He made him ride. He made him. That's why I said that. He maketh me lie down. You can't. Nobody can make you do things. Eh? Nobody can make you do things. You are so hard. No, but this one, he made him. You are soft from today. He made him ride on the high places of the air. You will enter hotels you never imagined you enter. I said you will sleep in hotels you never thought that somebody like you will ever be in such a place. You will be drinking orange juice for $50 for one glass. I tell you. $25 tea. You will be drinking like this. You say that. Is it I? You say it is I. High places of the earth. Presidential corridors of power. You will be walking there. Millionaires and billionaires. That he might eat the increase of the field. And he made him to suck honey. Can you imagine coming to suck honey out of this rock? Look at this. Where is the honey going to come from? That's going to be yours. So people say, so how are you able to? How are you able to get something out of this? We're going to interview you, please. So it must have been difficult originally to get some honey out of this. I wanted to ask you how you are able to do it. He led him about, and he will be leading you. And he made him to suck oil out of the flinty rock. And verse 14, these are symbolic. You may not know what it is, because some of you have only been eating margarine, not butter. But it says butter of kine. Some of you, even you don't eat margarine, you don't eat butter. It is the bread as it is. I say today, God is showing you what is butter. Butter of kine. Milk of the sheep. Fat of the lambs. Rams of the breed of Bashan. Goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. Thou didst drink the blood of grapes. You don't know what is the blood of grapes. Yeah. Blood of grapes. The blood of grapes. Yeah. Grapes. It contains a substance called resveratrol. That is why in France, when they drink a lot of wine, they don't have heart attacks. They don't die of, but it protects the heart. Yeah. That's the blood of grapes. God knows why he's giving you the blood of grapes. Instead of sachet water. I said instead of sachet water. You are going higher in Jesus' name. Stand on your feet and give the Lord a shout of hallelujah. Now, how many now understand why the art of hearing is the most important book? Yes. How to hear him guiding you. Yeah. Even reading the Bible, you must hear his voice. Isaiah 30, 21, you must hear his voice behind. Even when you hear the teachers, thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. Look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. Though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers. And verse 21 says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Yes. Even reading the Bible, you hear. I was reading my Bible, having my quiet time. The carpet was blue. I was lying on the floor. I was praying. And I saw the scripture. And I heard a voice. But not the voice, but I heard the Lord within me say, this is it. Give thyself wholly to these things. That's why if you go behind there, you see it written on the wall there. Give thyself wholly. If you go behind, you call it the poem manuscript. You see, I wrote it on the wall up there. When you go and look at it. Give thyself holy. That's what brought me here. Yeah. Give thyself holy. You hear a voice. 1 Timothy 4:5. Give thyself. That is it. He leads you. You must know even when reading the Bible that he's leading you. This one is part of the leading. Don't only expect loud voices like what Paul said. It's not so common. But many things, he's leading you. He's guiding you. Are you ready for him to guide
you?
Yes. Lift your hand and pray for. Pray for only one thing this morning. Pray that you will learn how to be led like never before. You will be the most sensitive person to God and God's guidance. When he's frightening you out of your nest, that you will know that this is the Lord leading me. Thanks, Jesus. Thanks, Jesus. Thanks, Jesus. Shandola makabalanda barandala baba. Oh, yes. We give you praise. We give you glory, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name, we are grateful for your mighty, mighty blessings. Hallowed be thy name. Hallelujah. Put your hand on your heart. Father, touch every heart. Restore every soul. Whatever is sick in us, heal us, Lord. Whatever is not well in us, heal it, Lord. Restore us to a normal soul with normal feelings. Restore us to a normal soul with normal emotions. Restore us to a normal soul with a normal will that is able to say, I will and I will not. In Jesus' name I pray. Also, Lord, I pray, open our eyes and the heart, our heart, touch our heart, that we may be able to follow you. Lord, when you are hooking our heart and pulling us, oh Jesus, let our resistance come to an end. Save us from wicked people. Deliver us from traps. People we are not supposed to interact with. Let us stop interacting with them. Those we are not supposed to know, let us not know them, Lord. Those we are supposed to know, may we know them, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for blessedness of this first Sunday. We pledge ourselves to follow you all through the year. On this covenant Sunday, we make a covenant, Lord, that we are now more interested in knowing you and knowing your direction and your guidance than anything else. We don't care whether the guy is handsome or the guy is not handsome. We don't care whether there is money there or there is no money there. We just want you. You guide us, Lord. You can lead us to a high place, the high places of the earth. We are riding now, Lord, this year to the high places. To the high place. We are going to eat the increase of the field. And we are going to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. Jesus, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We lift our hands and we thank you, Jesus, for the grace to follow you, the grace to keep following you, keep serving you, keep honoring you. We are grateful. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, Lord. And everyone said, amen. Every head bow for one moment, please. If you are here, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You want to know Jesus as your Savior today. You want to give your life to Jesus today. Maybe somebody invited you, but today you want to give your life to Jesus Christ. Then lift up your right hand up high and I'm going to pray with you. Maybe somebody invited you, but you are not a born again Christian. And you don't know even if you die today or tomorrow, whether you go to heaven or hell. Maybe you are on drugs. Maybe you are doing various things. But today you want to give your life to Jesus. Then just lift your hand wherever you are standing. Every eye closed, please, for a moment. God bless you. Lift it up high. So I can see. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Now, if you've lifted your hand, come to me. Just walk to me. I want to pray with you. Come, come. Come from wherever you are. Come.
Come running to the mercy seat where Jesus is calling. His grace will be your covering. His blood will flow freely. It will provide your healing. Come running
quickly
to that mercy seat. Yeah.
Let us pray. Say this prayer. Say this prayer with me.
Say, Lord Jesus. Everyone join in. Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I open my heart. I give my life to you, Jesus. Please have mercy on me. Please wash away my sins. Make me a new person. Today, I open my heart. I receive Christ as my Savior and my Lord. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Close your eyes. Say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. From today. Say, from today, I belong to God. I belong to Jesus. And I will serve Jesus Christ. I am turning around from every wickedness. In Jesus' name. Take my life, Lord Jesus. Make me a new person. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the preaching of God's word. For audio CDs, DVDs, books, and other resources by Dykewood Mills, please visit our website at www.dykewoodmills.org. God richly bless you.